broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans, Sam Bushman and Kirk Cosby, live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that I refuse to use, nut out, continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for December 28th in the year of our Lord, 2015. This is hour two of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country. It's incredibly simple. We use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. We believe the checks and balances put in place by our founders are absolutely brilliant, and the solutions to the problems we face. We don't need a revolution, but a restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth, no doubt in order. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you're doing all fantastic. Last hour, we talked about the Star Wars film becomes fastest movie to reach $1 billion in sales in just 12 days. Wow. Out of control. It's a cult-like following. It's sad to see, folks. We talked about in Texas, total devastation. Tornadoes make for deadly fierce December, according to USA Today. We talked about the storms all over the South. They claim there's snowstorms and global warming mixed together. Very weird scenario, to say the least. But no mention of God. No mention of turning to our Maker for safety and protection. And then Sam launches into, what 25 words would you use if that's all you were permitted to write? I said, keep the commandments, remember Jesus, forgive completely, pray always, follow the Spirit, repent daily, serve willingly, say thank you, love others, return with honor, and smile. Those are the 25 words that I would say. And we ended with an admonition to each of you. What would you write if you could only say 25 words to your loved ones? They didn't even know if you were dead or alive, but what would you say to them? It's a very tough exercise when you really get down to it. What 25 words would you use and why? Last hour, I wrapped up the hour and explained what 25 words I would use and why I'd use them. All right. There's a weird headline, Kurt. It's very racial in nature. By the way, welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, second hour. All right, somehow we lost Kurt. We'll try to get him back. Don't know what happened there. Got to work on that. It's hard to keep track of all this stuff, you know what I mean? We'll get Kurt here back on the line. There you go. Now you can hear Kurt Cosby joining us here.
Hey.
You with us? You're live, sir.
Sorry about that. I don't know what happened.
All right. We apologize. I didn't realize it. I'm all by myself and, you know.
Yeah.
But we got you back. I covered kind of what we covered last hour. But now I got a very racial topic to discuss. And I want to launch the new year, Kurt. And I'm going to talk a lot more about race than I have hitherto done. And there's a reason that I'm going to do that, is because there's been a charge in 2015 by the mainstream press in bed with the Black Lives Matter, in my opinion, terroristic, hostile movement. Very racially charged. And they basically threw a grenade at white men everywhere and said, you guys are afraid to talk about race. Why won't you come to the race dialogue? Well, my friends, I'm ready to come to the race dialogue. Me and Jesse Lee Peterson are ready to do that. And the reason that I am is because I don't believe there is racism at all. There's misunderstandings between cultures and races. There's confusion. There is fear. No doubt about all those things. And who is primarily responsible for engendering those, in my opinion, divisionary scenarios? The answer is your government. Activists who are taking advantage of it for political and financial reasons, in the media. And I want to destroy that. I want to knock those walls of mistrust and confusion and hate down. First off, I don't believe it's as bad as they're making it sound, but I'm going to come to the discussion. Which Black Lives Matter or which other leader wants to talk to Sam Bushman about race and where and when? And let's get the discussions rolling. But this headline typifies and proves what I'm saying, Kurt. In the Blaze, website, I saw this article. Quote, "Dear White America." Now, Kurt, did you know there was a White America?
Well, there is if you're trying to stir up race issues, Sam.
Absolutely. Well put. There only is if you're trying to create a division.
Yeah.
That's how this starts out, and that's why I reject it. Look, to me, America is white, it's black, it's yellow, it's all colors of the rainbow.
Yep.
And we're not talking about illegals here. We're talking about legal people here.
Yeah.
Legal, lawful Americans. And they're from all colors of the rainbow. They're from all nationalities. And we can come together with a general idea that our goal is to protect life, liberty, and property. And the goal is to promote God, family, and country. That's our nation's creed, if you will, via the supreme law of the land, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, etc., our rich history of realizing that God gives us our liberty, not government. And government exists only by the consent of the governed. See, a very unique focus that all Americans pretty much adhere to and agree with, Kurt.
Yeah.
All right? I don't care what color. But so they start out and they say, "Dear White America," quote, "black professors open letter." So now black professors got together and created an open letter. "Asks readers to admit to the racist poison that is inside of you." Are you going to do that, Kurt? You're going to admit to the racist poison that's inside of you, sir?
Oh, man. You can just tell how messed up this deal is.
No question.
Goes, huh? Yeah.
These people are off their rockers. But they're really not, Kurt. They know full well you're not a racist. They know full well what they're doing. They just know that they can exploit this charge.
Yep.
And gain political favor and financial war chests and everything off this race card.
Yep.
That's all they're doing it for. And to even defend ourselves is a waste of time.
Yeah, good.
But the headline says this. Or I'm sorry, the story says this. In an open letter to white Americans, Emory University professor of philosophy, George Yancey, asked readers to deeply consider the ways that you perpetuate a racist society and to think about the ways that you are racist. And Yancey called his open letter, "Dear White America," published in the New York Times, Kurt. Now, at the start of this segment, I brought out that it's the government in bed with the media and government, or I'm sorry, in bed with activists who have an agenda to push that are pushing this agenda. This is positive proof. A bunch of professors at government universities get together, write an open letter to white America. Admit how racist you are. Admit that you have hate at your core, white man. And they release it through the all-too-willing New York Times.
Yep.
Now, if I want to promote a pro-life message, the New York Times will reject it, Kurt.
Well, as far as I know, they would. I
mean, even if it's pro-life for everyone.
Yep.
Race aside. On Christmas Eve, they say this would be a gift, Kurt.
Uh-huh.
They asked readers to not run to seek shelter from your own racism. Don't hide from your responsibility. Practice being vulnerable, Kurt.
Practice being vulnerable.
Begin right now to practice being vulnerable, Kurt. Yes, sir.
What does that mean?
Well,
it's insane.
Being a good white person or a liberal white person will not get you off the proverbial hook, Kurt.
Yeah.
This is George Yancey. The guy's a nut.
Wow.
I can see your anger, Kurt, he continues. I can see that this letter's already being misunderstood. This letter's not asking you to feel bad about yourself, Kurt, or to wallow in guilt. That is too easy. Rather, I'm asking you to tarry, Kurt. I'm asking you to linger.
Oh, yeah.
with the ways that you perpetuate a racist society since you are a racist. Okay?
Wow.
I'm now daring you, Kurt, to face a racist history. Okay? You going to face this racist history, Kurt?
Yeah, just show how bad you were. You really are. And
I'm now daring you to face a racist history.
Wow.
You are where you are. And that has formed your own racism, Kurt. I'm asking you to enter into a battle with your white self. This guy is off his rocker. Hang tight. I'll tell you about it.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, I'm going to go on with this letter. This letter is whacked out as all get out, Kurt. It's an open letter. In an open letter to white Americans, Emory University professor of philosophy George Yancey goes off. In an open letter to white Americans asking them to admit to the racist poison that is inside of you. I'm telling you, it is crazy. Now, he says this, I'm asking you to enter into a battle with your white self. Think about that. I'm asking you to enter into a battle with your white self. Is that suggesting that I have another self than my white self? And what color would that other self be, by the way? George. I'm asking that you open yourself up to speak to admit to the racist poison that is inside of you. Again, take a deep breath. Don't tell me about how many black friends you have. Think about that. Don't tell me that you're married to someone of color. Don't tell me that you voted for Obama. Don't tell me that I'm the racist. Don't tell me that you don't see color. Well, by the way, I don't, sir, and I can prove it. Don't tell me that I'm blaming whites for everything. To do so is to hide yet again. You may have never used the N-word in your life. You may hate the KKK. But that does not mean that you don't harbor racism and benefit from racism. After all, you are part of a system that allows you to walk into stores where you are not followed, where you get to go for a bank loan and your skin does not count against you, where you don't need to engage in the talk that black people and people of color must tell their children when they are confronted by white police officers. As you reap comfort from being white, we suffer for being black and people of color. But you know what? Your comfort is linked to our pain and suffering. Just as my comfort in being male is linked to the suffering of women, which, by the way, makes me sexist, says George, so too you are racist. That is the gift that I want you to accept, Kurt. It is a piece of knowledge that is taboo. I want you to embrace this. Imagine the impact of what this acceptance could do, what this gift might have on you and the world. Take another deep breath. I know there are those who will write to me in the comment section with boiling anger, sarcasm, disbelief, denial. There are those who would say that Yancey is just an angry black man. How can Yancey say that all white people are racist? What about the black crime that appears in our neighborhoods? Okay? Okay, he goes off. It's beyond comprehension. Are you prepared to be at war with yourself? Are you prepared to be at war with your white identity? Will you accept all the racism that is within yourself? Will you accept all the truth of what it means for you to be white in a society that was created to you? I ask you to trace the roots that tie you to your privilege. It goes on. It is beyond comprehension, this letter. I can see your anger. I can see that this letter is being misunderstood, he goes on. Now, Kurt, I don't even know how to cope with this exactly, because it's kind of like the when did you quit beating your wife question.
That's exactly right.
He has framed the argument with lies to the point where it is impossible for me to respond because he's, well, covered that. I can't tell you that I have friends that are black. I can't tell you that I don't see race, even though I don't. I can't tell him any of that because he's already covered that. In other words, I am a racist and there's no way in any frame of mind that I can live that down. And if we're going to accept that lie as the premise, see, he even says he's a sexist because he, as a male, is empowered by the downing of women. And so he's a sexist and you're a racist, Kurt. See, that's another lie.
Yep.
Me being male and me being white does not demean women or blacks in any way because of my existence. To say so is an absolute, outright, belligerent, manipulative, satanic lie. And the reason I say that is because there's no way to overcome that scenario. Because no matter how much advancement are given to women and or blacks, it could still be said the same things that he's saying now. So my first question for Mr., you know, philosophy professor George Yancey, with his open letter saying how full of hate I am, do you, my friend, have the authority to judge my heart? If you're going to say that I'm full of hate, full of anger, full of bigotry or racism, do you have the authority to judge my heart, sir? If you do, who gave you that authority? And can I have the same authority to judge your heart? So that's where I would start the discussion. If he says you're a racist, I'm going to say, fine, you've already made that a fact. If we're going to go with your lies and logic, then it's a fact, right? If we're going to accept your false premise and just move on, fine. Where do you get authority to judge my heart? You don't even know me. And you're saying I'm a racist. When am I going to come to the grips with my inner hatred? The racist poison that's inside of me, admit to it. Okay, I'm not going to admit to anything. But if we're going to accept your lie, George Yancey, then my question for you is, let's say we go along with Yancey's proposal. Let's say that he's right, even though he's wrong as all get out. My question for George is there a point when, if I do what you say, that I can come out of my horrible state, that I can repent, that I can change, that I can overcome, that I can fix it? Is there a way for me ever to recover from my, if you will, fallen state, Kurt? I don't think there's any way. Because if what he's saying is true, Kurt, it's going to always be true.
What you have here is, you know, this is, you know that I'm a sales guy, and I've been in sales for lots of years, I guess ever since I was born probably, but in sales, this is a typical kind of thing that you do. And what you do is, in your sales presentation, you deal with the objectives before. So, or in
objections, you mean?
Objectives, yeah, objections. And so what you do is, you know, hey, this is what people typically say when I'm trying to sell this, like this professor's selling the idea that if you're white, you're racist. Okay, that's what he's selling. And he knows that typically people use these kind of objections. So they say, well, I got friends that aren't my same color. Or, you know, whatever they are, all these different ones. And so he deals with those in his presentation. And then at the end, you're left, as you have wisely said, with really no comeback because you can't use those things.
All right, quick pause. We'll talk about it more, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby on your radio. News the networks refuse to use straight ahead. Are you a racist?
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
This is Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and I want to introduce you to Numana Storable Foods. This is the first brand of storable foods that I am willing to put my name behind. It's food you can trust. No GMOs, no MSG, no chemical preservatives, and no fake meat. Plus, Numana doesn't just make that claim. They back it up with independent evaluation and testing. Another thing that Numana really does that excites me is the delicious vegetarian options. If your standards are as high as mine, I can confidently tell you that Numana Storable Foods are the quality choice that you've been waiting for. Numana won't just meet your expectations, they will exceed them. And that's why we're thrilled to have the good guys from Numana joining the Power Hour family. Go to powerprepper.com and learn about Numana Storable Foods. You can also call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Numana, the storable food you'll love to eat.
When camping overnight, your tent is one of the most important items you'll have with you. That's why it's vital to have a quality tent that is easy to carry and will withstand the elements. Teton Sports offers top quality tents for any of your camping needs. The Outfitter XXL cot tent weighs only 4 pounds, but provides plenty of space for a comfortable night's sleep. Teton Sports also has a 6-man tent, which weighs only 14 pounds for camping overnight with friends and family. Each tent is easy to assemble and is easily transportable, and each is made with 1200mm coated polyester, providing strong and durable protection from weather and cold. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, backpacks, duffels, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Wherever your outdoor adventures take you, you will be safe and comfortable in a quality tent from Teton Sports. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Has your dancing and romancing done gone away? Are you moaning and a-groaning from the stresses of the day? Are you reeling and a-peeling because a headache's on the way? Well, relax for just a moment. Stress relief is on the way. Of what am I speaking, you ask? The essential oils of long historic use, the wisdom of the ages, the health care of the ancients, frankincense, myrrh, hyssop, and hundreds of others too numerous to mention. What could be more appealing? Do you know that Young Living essential oils is an element of life that makes them extremely effective in body rejuvenation? This element is called vibration, and it works with body systems, not against them. The professionals at Divine Living Oils have tested and been so impressed with this product that we are using them to help others. And who are we? We are health professionals with many years' experience. Trust us, we have seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. Our motto? Because we care about you. Do your health and spirit a great favor. Call us at 304-542-4226. That's 304-542-4226. Again, that's 304-542-4226.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby on your radio. We're talking about racism. We're going to be talking about it much, much more over the next year because I think racism is bogus. I think it's a social construct. It's exploited by governments, by universities, by the mainstream press, by activists who want to generate filthy lucre, fame, and fortune on this divisionary tactic. And to prove the point, this George Yancey is a whacked out university professor of philosophy. And it's called Dear White American, or Dear White America. Black professor's open letter asks readers to admit to the racist poison that's inside of you. Yancey called his letter Dear White America, published in the New York Times. And it goes on and on and on about how you're a racist. There's no answer you can give to say that you're not. Anything you already say has already been tried. It doesn't do any good. You are. Now, first off, I reject the premise, but that's what he wants me to do. He wants me to reject the premise and then spend all my time defending that I'm not a racist. So, George, go on. Tell everybody I'm a racist. And I'm not even going to argue with you on that point, not because I agree with you, but because there's no way to disagree. So let's just assume that I am a racist. I'm evil. Now, is there any chance, George, now that you've judged my heart as if you have some authority to do so, is there any opportunity for me to redeem myself? And what would it take, George? Can you write down a list of things that I could do to redeem myself? Now, there's a gazillion comments. Most of them were thumbs up for his letter, by the way, Kurt, which baffles me. But it shows the state of decline that America's truly in. But it gets worse or better. I don't know. You know, whatever you want to call it. But a bunch of commenters were critical of it in a variety of ways. The best comment, I found the best comment out of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. And this is exactly what I would say and what I agree with. One commenter wrote, quote, "This focus on getting white people to admit their privilege instead of focusing on conversations of how to improve black schools, inner cities, and poverty makes no sense. In other words, this commenter says, fine, we don't agree with you on this racism question, if we're racist or not. You're going to say we are, but there's no point in disagreeing. But let's say that you're right, George. Now, how's that going to help us improve your lot in life? Your schools, your inner cities, your situation, your poverty. And I would then start to talk about the following things. What would it take to redeem me, George? Because am I beyond redemption? Am I beyond redemption, George? If I am in your mind, then the conversation's over between me and you. But I would like to talk about, even if I'm beyond redemption, and even if I am a racist, which you assert both may be true, George, then I would like to say, what could we do to improve the lives? Now, I know he's going to want me to say of blacks, but I'm not going to say that. What can we do to improve the lives of everyone? What can we do to improve lives? Question mark. And I would start there. And I would then look back at this history. He wants me to be acquainted with black history, so I am. The first slave owner in America was a black man, folks. You want to talk about history? George, I want you to respond to that. Was he a belligerent, out-of-control racist as well? The first man to own slaves in America was a black man. Let's deal with history as it really is, shall we? Second point that I want to make is this. Blacks, after slavery was abolished, and I disagree with the Civil War to abolish slavery in the first place, William Wilberforce and others did it peacefully. We could have as well. That's a whole other topic. I digress. But I will say this. Black people gained a lot of ground between the 1860s and the 1960s when Rosa Parks went off. That was a complete setup. Although I commend her in many ways. Kurt, are you with me?
Yes.
All right. No, I think it was a complete setup, the Rosa Parks scenario. Nevertheless, it does typify the efforts made. I believe blacks have made tremendous progress in America, more so than any other society in the world. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, I agree. And America is the place, at least, When we really follow the laws that are in place and use the Constitution, where I believe basically is the most freedom-loving place in the world. But like in this case, with this racist guy, that's what I'd call him, in the New York Times basically for promoting him.
What a disgrace, Kurt. And I would then say this. How can we improve everyone's life, Kurt? How can we improve life as a whole? And I submit to you that blacks are worse off now than they were under slavery. Well, that doesn't mean that I'm defending slavery in any way, but here's the deal. We are all slaves to the IRS. So one of the first things we need to do if we're going to make black lives better and every life better, we're going to have to abolish the IRS, sir.
Well, yeah, and so much of our government. For example, I don't know if you knew this, but I got a Christmas present that was a T-shirt. And on the front of it, it said, "Teach your children about taxes, eat 30% of their ice cream." It shows an ice cream cone, you know, where you're just, you know, chunking off a part yourself. Now, I would have changed it and made it like 60% of their ice cream. But, you know, the point is really there. And in America, the freedoms that we've had, we've let them go, focusing on things like, you know, this author wants to point out, and they want to stir up problems that really, in my opinion, they didn't really exist, but they want them to exist.
That's, yeah, they exist now because they've been priming that pump for decades, sir.
That's right. And I'll tell you, the only real solution that you asked this guy what he would say was the way you could redeem yourself. And I'm not telling you that he's going to respond, but I can tell you what he would say. And you're still, in the end, you wouldn't be not a racist. You'd just be penniless, because what he wants you to do is turn over all your money, all your assets, everything that you've ever had, and, you know, give that to, well, guys like him to distribute to you know, those poor downtrodden souls. And, you know, then in the end, you would be penniless and he would be powerful. And you know, some folks would get a little bit of that, but most of it would stay in his hand.
Glenn's in Philadelphia. Hi, Glenn.
Good morning, Sam. Good morning, Kurt. Yeah, just addressing this this letter from this philosopher. Yeah, you could just write it off by saying he's nuts.
But let me stop you there for a second, Glenn. I agree with you. We could write it off and say that he's nuts. However, I do have a legitimate question, and that doesn't have to do with whether I'm a racist or not. Obviously, I'm white, so I am. In his mind, there's no way to change that. But what I want to ask is, how can we improve lives? And I'm going to stop there. I'm not going to say any precursor to women's lives, black lives, short people's lives, blind people's lives. I'm not doing that. I'm just saying, how can we improve lives? I think there's an appropriate discussion about the proper role of the family and the solutions that a mother and a father, blessed with children, have on society. Now, let's start talking about statistics. So when you have a mother and a father who love each other and have complete fidelity to one another, who welcome children and have responsibility for those children. Let's talk about that, and we'll see the statistics, and we'll see what items can truly benefit everyone.
Okay. But what I was wanting to say is, number one, I think one of the most, one effective argument you could bring against him is simply the psychological concept of projection. Since he's allowing for no counter, no refutation, he's lodging the accusation a priori as irrefutable. I think psychologists might well say, well, that's very likely to be just projection. Perhaps it's his racism that he's projecting onto others. So basically, but even so, all you end up with is counter allegations. Now, you've already started on one argument that makes a good point. I mean, again, this man isn't receptive to refutation, but assuming he were rational, and since he's a philosopher, he should know what the philosophical discipline of epistemology is. And epistemology is the philosophical subdiscipline that has to do with how we attain certainty. How do we know things to be true? How do we process rational logic and empirical evidence?
Hang tight, Glenn, because I got a hard break, but I'll let you finish after the break, okay? Stay right there, my friend. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live, ladies and gentlemen. Are you a racist? Oh, yes, you are. I've got a question. Is Georgia racist? Liberty Roundtable Live. The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you can take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E, free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Cosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T, that's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
Now, I would ask this George Yancey if God is a racist. After all, he's the one that made everybody different colors. Just saying, just wondering. But, you know, he's got an answer for that, I'm sure, too. All right, so Glenn's in Philadelphia. He's responding, and he's using some terms to put this professor in a corner about, hey, he's not being fair. He's already framed the argument. No matter what, if we engage in his box, we lose. Right, Glenn?
Well, if you just accept his premise, you know, or basically since he's not going to listen, but if you're inclined to mount a reputation that might persuade others, I don't expect to persuade him, since he's obviously intractable and has his mind made up in advance. However, in mounting a refutation against him, I would suggest using his own discipline against him, which in a sense you've already started to do. As a philosopher, he should know what epistemology is. Epistemology asks the question, how do we know? How do we attain certainty? And you look at things like empirical data, you know, and rational logic and that sort of thing. Now, you've already started to make the point and beg the question, how do you know my heart? And that's a very good question. In other words, okay, buddy, where's your evidence? Do you have where's your empirical data that proves?
Well, and where's your authority, too, to make such a judgment? Even if you have the data, even if you can say, well, your existence in historical reality and society proves it because you've done nothing to oppose these things. My response is, where's your authority to make that judgment?
Well, yeah, it's obviously fallacious and easily proven as such. You know, this idea of just painting with a broad brush or even a roller to say everybody in a given, you know, class, it's like me saying that, you know, everybody in Paraguay is such and such, or everybody in, you know, Major League Baseball. You can't just take a people group and then paint with a broad brush and make a sweeping allegation against everyone in the people group. Like you say, he's talking about the values and the attitudes of individuals in their hearts, and he has no way. He has no way of knowing that. You know, epistemologically speaking.
Well, that's the problem. All right, any final thoughts, Glenn?
Well, I was thinking other stuff about Christmas and holidays only, but this guy, you know, basically, I think at some point there comes a point at which, you know, when something is this preposterous, you know, I think simply shouting him down might well be, you know, either ignore him to give him no attention, or just, you know, shout him down. Because
I think what you do is you ignore his assertions in the sense that you don't debate whether you're a racist or not, because of course you are, Glenn. I'm just telling you that right now. Got it? So you don't even waste your time on that. That's what he wants you to do, is take that bait and debate whether you're a racist or not. What I want to do is turn the discussion towards, where do you get authority to judge my heart? The next question is, okay, you say that I'm afraid to discuss black history. There's no such thing as black history. There's only history. And let's talk about some of the facts in history. The first man to own slaves in America was a black man, number one. Number two, is God a racist? He's the one that made us all different colors. Number three, what if we go back to a better time in America? Let's just say, try 1950, for example. Most black women had a husband. Most children were born in wedlock. most children were not gang bangsters and or gangsters, bangster, whatever you want to call them, gangbangers, whatever. There was stability. Yeah, there was some poverty, but blacks were starting to get incredible jobs. Many of them were gaining a great education. Okay, right. Whites, if you study history and you're just going to focus on just the facts, ma'am, have done more for the black race. If we're going to talk about separation of race, I would say that the American ideal has done more for everyone in the history of the world than any system, bar none, period. You can't point to a better one. Well, end of paragraph.
Look at the time of the establishment of some of the great black colleges, Morehouse and Howard and stuff like that. Blacks were climbing the educational ladder and establishing their own higher education institutions and stuff like that.
More so in America than anywhere else in the world.
Right.
Okay, so the real question is, what can we do to improve lives? And I would bend the conversation to, while he's ranting and raving and foaming at the mouth of how much of a racist and a hater inside that I really am and everything else, I'm going to spend time talking about what we need to do is look at 1950 and go back to that era and say, what was right about it? And what can we do to get there? What was right about it is there was upward mobility for blacks. There was opportunities in education. Men and women stayed together. They trained and loved their children to believe in God and to obey authority and to do these things that civil society requires to some degree. And I would say let's move back to that time. First off, we need fathers in the home. If we're going to fix anything.
Look how welfare was used to get the men out of the household. I was just going to say that.
Great point.
Welfare was used to get the men out of the home and destroy the black family. Absolutely.
Okay.
All right. Take care.
Thanks, Glenn. So what can we do to improve lives? But I would start in talking about the family and talking about these discussions because that's, in my humble opinion, where the answers lie. God ordained family to be the fundamental unit of society with a husband and a wife, a mother and a father. And out of their love comes children who they have a responsibility for. Kurt, you want to add to that? That's where I would point the conversation. Because if we want solutions, that's where we've got to return to the restoration of the traditional family. That's when things were stable.
Well, that's exactly right. So many things, Sam, that we face today, so many problems and difficulties, you just simply got to look at history, look at what things were like before, and return to those kind of tried and trusted institutions, examples, situations, whatever. They're there. It's not that hard to find the solutions.
We need to look to the traditional family for those solutions.
That's
where it starts. Instead of a kid being out on the streets in the hood doing drugs, hanging out with his buddies and finding a way to rob to get more drugs, or rape and pillage and plunder to prove he's a man and initiate himself into the gang, what about dad sitting at the dinner table with son saying, you know what, son, you did a good job mowing the lawn today. I'm proud of you, my friend. I appreciate your work around the house. It looks good. And what about then when kid starts to speak out a little bit against mom, dad says, listen, you're not talking to your mother that way. That's not acceptable in this house, son. And so we're talking about a little bit of discipline. We're talking about a lot of love. We're talking about example and role models. We're talking about appreciation and respect. See, most people who are angry, it's really love disappointed that fuels that anger.
Yep.
In other words, you miss your dad, you miss your mom, you don't feel love from those around you, and so you're disappointed, and it comes out through anger. And will we have a perfect society if we do these things? No, we won't. But our society will be 10 times better if dad provides the discipline, a little bit of love, mom provides nurturing. These are the attributes that God intended for his children on the earth. And he has put two role models, a mom and a dad, in charge of this scenario. That's why the procreative power only happens between one male and one female.
Yep.
Now you can say, well, Sam, there's guys with kids all over the place with a bunch of women. Yeah, but it's still one man, one woman that made that. Now they're trying to change that as people try to play God.
Yep.
But the reality is, ladies and gentlemen, what can we do to improve lives? We need to look to the traditional family for solutions. You can study. Whenever you're in the traditional family, lives go better. People are safer. There's less abuse. There's less poverty. There's less trouble. Whenever fathers are in the home, there's more respect, more appreciation, more example, more discipline, more organization. I'm not downing women or saying that women don't have a role to play. Of course, they have an incredible role to play. But I submit to you that a mom and a dad with their children eating dinner together every night would make one of the biggest differences to changing our society you could possibly imagine. It starts with a selfless look at what the problems really are. It starts with finding ways to unite, not divide. It starts with uniting men and women together with a common goal and unique attributes to bring to the solutions for that goal. And then it starts with destroying this generation gap they've created. You don't need a division between mom and dad. You don't need a division between parents and kids. You don't need a division between black and white. It starts with erasing those divisions. Yeah. How do you erase those divisions? You believe in God's law to have respect for all. Love, husbands, love your wives as I have loved the church, says Christ. Okay? We need to take that example. Do unto others as they would have you would have them do unto you, or love thy neighbor as thyself. You can put it many ways. But we're talking about these principles of kindness, of a gentle society where we say please and thank you, where we have a moral compass, where we respect God's laws and his organization for society, which is the family. Okay, that's where the answers are. And I openly challenge Mr. Professor George Yancey to an open discussion. If the New York Times published his article, will they publish an article from us? Yancey called his letter, Dear White America. I would answer, my headline would say this: Dear American Family, the fundamental unit of society, the framework for solutions. That's where I would start the discussion. And I challenge George to an open debate. Which network will take us on, huh? Does George have the guts? Maybe somebody needs to get a hold of George for me and see if he'll openly discuss this with me. We're going to take off the gloves in 2016, ladies and gentlemen, and have these discussions. We're going to be kind. We're going to be respectful. But we are going to be very direct about the promotion of God, family, and country. This is Liberty Roundtable Live, ladies and gentlemen. Turn any phone, anywhere, anytime into a radio. Smile and dial 712-432-5339. That's 712-432-5339. LibertyRoundtable.com. Click on Help Us Grow to get involved. This nation shall endure.